Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three balls, two strikes. Runner goes from first. The pitch is crushed. Way back to right. It is gone. Kyle Schwarber demolishing that changeup.
You think he didn't think that changeup was coming? He wasn't fooled even almost a little bit.
16th home run of the season for Kyle Schwarber. It's a three-run shot, and it's a 5-0 Phillies lead.
Break up the Phillies, Jody Mack. Break them up. They're too good for the rest of the league.
Damn, this has been fun the last week, wouldn't you say, Glenn? Since you and I did a show together, they've been okay.
People are wondering what's the key. I believe that's it. Reunion. Good morning, everybody. He is Jody McDonald. I am Glenn Mack. Now we are here until 1 o'clock for a festive 3 hours. Looking forward to talking to you. And yes, we open with the obvious. The Phillies have won 8 in a row. They have outscored opponents, Jody, 70-24 during those 8 games. They have slugged 21 homers in 8 games. 21 homers in 8 games. And the big news, of course, is they are back to 500. My math, which I can't promise you is correct, but it tells me they are just 2.5 games out of that last playoff spot. When, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks ago, there was no hope. Jody McDonald, there is hope. 6 home games coming up. Started last night against the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have turned it around, and I want to start, if we may, by talking about how they have turned it around. And I'll let you go first. How in the world have they turned it around?
Well, first things first, I'd like to thank the Phillies for keeping it with nice even numbers, because yes, they fell to a season low 8 games under 500. That was before the last game that Joe Girardi managed. That was the seasonal low. And oh, by the way, they've ripped off 8 consecutive wins, so it's very easy. They're back to 500. I didn't think they could get back to 500 till maybe July and then make a push. 8 games later, they're back to 500. So thank you very much for making the math easy on all of us. Glenn, what this tells me more than anything else is anyone who believes that emotion and feel and momentum and energy don't have a place in Major League Baseball, then you haven't watched the Phillies for the last 8 days. that this is more than just, oh, the great moves by Rob Thompson. And when you and I did the show together last week, I told you I know Robbie a little bit because my father's known him for 35 years, and he is a good baseball man and was the guy to take over for Joe Girardi. Smart decision by Dave Dombrowski. I've watched all 8 of these games. Has Robbie made moves that just defy logic, that have all worked out, that this is some kind of managerial genius? Of course not. He's a lot like Joe Girardi. He hasn't done much different than Joe Girardi did. The results are what's different. Why? Because the players picked it up. Guys are playing to what we expected them to play, what the back of their baseball card says they should be able to play to, and now they're achieving that. Robbie has made a couple of moves that I really like, and I'm not sure that Girardi would have made, but I'm telling you, when I say a couple, I actually mean two. I don't know about you, but when I say a couple, it can be anywhere upwards of four or five.
That's a few.
Yeah, I say couple. I've always said couple. You know what it goes back
Jody,
to?
Jody, you and your wife are married, right? That makes you a
couple.
There you go.
I understand that, but when I was...
Near as I know, there's not a third person in that marriage.
When I was, let's say, prior to the age of 18, when my mother would ask me...
You didn't answer that one, did you?
No, I moved right on. Prior to the age of 18, when my mother would ask me, I can tell you had some beer. How many did you have? Well, I had a couple. Well, a couple could be upwards of six, but that's how I would define couple is... It's a relative number more than one, but the upside of it is debatable.
Okay. Right. So I would say... Funk and Wagnalls, I won't argue this with you.
Yeah, I might be taking dictionary liberties there. Here's my definition of a couple with Robbie Anderson. Like two. There might be two decisions over the last 8 games that Robbie Thompson made that I don't think Joe Girardi would have made. So that's 2 in 8 games. They won all 8 of those games. Well, what the hell else has changed? The energy... The mojo, the feel in the clubhouse, the emotion that the team's playing with, and that can come from just the change into itself. That you know that you cost the guy his job, you know that now the attention is going to be turned to you, players, who haven't been doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they've risen to the challenge, and they've gotten the job done and gotten back to the level they're supposed to be playing at, and lo and behold, we got an 8-game winning streak.
All right, I'll probably agree with you, and we'll get into those couple of moves coming up, because you're right, there's nothing revolutionary. He didn't bench 3 superstars and say from now on these guys are playing, but they have gotten that momentum. And there was an interesting quote they had yesterday. I'm trying to remember what the situation was, but there was Arizona missed the opportunity for an out. Oh, early on, Ketel Marte muffed an inning ender, double play ground ball from, I think it was from Stubbs. And so then Schwarber comes up and he hits that bomb, which is, I think, the home run that we just heard, right? And Thompson had a quote after the game. He said, that's what happens when you're going good. When you're not going good, the next guy pops out, and then a strikeout, and you're out of the inning, but we're taking advantage of those situations for sure early. Harper on Thursday, this is before they beat Corbin Burns, and boy, they worked him. That was a good game, said... As I told my buddy, it's just a different vibe now. We're playing our asses off. It is what it is, you know? Okay. I always hate it is what it is. But is it a different vibe because they're winning, or are they winning because it's a different vibe? Did Joe Girardi's firing set things on the right path, or is Rob Thompson the reason for all this turnaround? And Harper had another quote that said, we needed to get going. Everybody knew that. It's just a different vibe. I think we're just playing good ball right now. They talked about the vibe and the vibe and the vibe.
Yep.
And this is one of the things that I've always disagreed with the argument that a manager wins or loses no more than 5 games a season. And that may be when it comes to putting in the defensive replacement at the right time or juggling his batting order or knowing when to pull his starter and all of that may translate to 5 games a season. But the one manager I got to know when he was here was Charlie Manuel. We did a show with Charlie, and I got to hang around with Charlie. And you know, Jody, Charlie was not the greatest strategic manager in the history of baseball. When he first came to the National League, he couldn't really even do the double switch. He was not good at explaining himself to fans and media. He got tagged with the nickname Elmer Befuddled, and I was one of those people who early on just didn't believe in this guy and see it. But here's what Charlie knew to do. And this is something that I really learned from watching him is so important. And you having been around baseball your whole life, I'm sure you see this. He created a loose, fun, but driven clubhouse where what became a team of stars never rebelled, never clashed, never lost its energy, always played hard to win, never griped about playing time. I don't know Rob Thompson. You know him better than I do. Later in the show, we're going to have John Heyman on, who knows Rob Thompson well from New York.
Yep.
And to me, making the switch certainly brought an immediate energy to the team. But from what I hear, you know, from what Harper says, from what Schwarber says, it loosened him up immediately. And that's what a manager can do.
Harper didn't use the term loosened him up.
And well, he said it created a different vibe.
Vibe, right. Okay. Yeah, which you can take several different ways. I don't care. All I care about is the vibe. Why the vibe is working, I don't know. I've talked to players over the years that have said after a manager got fired, yeah, it really made us look in the mirror. It made us feel bad. We cost the guy his job. Sometimes you have that when in a clubhouse. Sometimes a guy gets fired and they throw a party behind closed doors and everybody celebrates the fact that the Wicked Witch is dead. I don't believe that was the case with Joe Girardi, but I don't know how much of this is that they actually felt bad, that they helped get the guy out of his position, out of his office and lose his job. But there might be some of that as well. I just care about the results. And the results are the vibe is adjusted and the vibe is better and they are playing with energy that I've not seen them play with. You're right. It's kind of a chicken and egg type thing. Which comes first? Does the good vibe bring the winning or does the winning bring the good vibe? Sometimes they go hand in hand.
Right. And sure.
You don't know which one comes first. I'm okay with it either way, Glenn. I'm not going to drive myself crazy trying to analyze it one way or the other or ask each individual player why they picked it up over the last 8 days. I'm just going to enjoy the vibe, and he ain't no winning streak.
By the way, he is chasing a record now, is Rob Thompson. The all-time best start for a manager, Boston Red Sox Joe Morgan, when he took over in 1988 for John McNamara, started at 12-0.
Nice start.
We got a ways to go, but still something to dream about. So you talk about the, you know, he's made a few changes.
By the way, for our millennial listeners,
yeah,
not the Joe Morgan, who was the superstar second
right.
baseman, former Philly, as a matter of fact, member of the Wheeze Kids. No, this was a completely different Joe Morgan who started his managerial career 12-0.
Is this the Joe Morgan that pulled Pedro out of a game that he never should have pulled him out of against the Yankees, right? Wasn't that him?
I believe so, yes.
The Brett Boone home run game?
Not John McNamara in 1986.
No, that was another screw.
Mets win the World Series. The Red Sox have had a couple of those guys.
Oh, God, yes. Okay, before Boston started winning championships every single year.
By the way, they're getting the
duck boats ready for the Celtics again.
Except for last night when the Celtics couldn't buy a basket in the last 2 minutes. All the Red Sox had to do was hire Joe McDonald to be a scout for them, and then they ripped off all those World Series in a row.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take a look here. The changes. You talk about any changes he has made. One is he's playing Bryson Stott. Now, you can argue he's playing Bryson Stott because he has to.
Out of necessity.
Out of necessity, right. But Stott is doing pretty well, 9 for 26 with 3 home runs and 9 RBIs. In May, he got all of 43 at-bats. Not sure we give the manager credit for that, but nonetheless, worked out well.
And if I were to, as I was just discussing, the reason behind the improved play, if you go to each individual player and put them on a lie detector, why have you improved your game? I would bet Bryson Stott is one of those guys who actually felt really bad that Joe Girardi got fired. Because he's a youngster. He's never been through it before. Chances are he's never had a manager removed in a season when he's been managing. And he knows, he looks at the stat sheet and sees he's hitting 175 and goes, damn, I contributed to this guy losing his job. He might be one of the guys. The grizzled veterans who've been in it before, been in the big leagues 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, they've been through it, and they know it's part of the game, and it's a business and everything else. Young guy like Bryson Stott might just have been motivated by the fact that he contributed to getting his manager fired.
Maybe. Could be. I don't see a whole lot of difference in handling the bullpen, right? We're still living and dying with Knebel as a closer.
Yeah.
Hasn't made that change yet.
After Knebel struggled in the last game, loaded the bases with walks, did get the last out, but made everybody remember Mitch Williams. He comes right back with him again last night. So, that's what Girardi had done. He stuck with Knebel. There was no thought or mentioning of someone else closing games from the Phillies clubhouse. And the new manager did it exactly the same way the old manager did.
Yeah, my sense on that is, you know, they paid Knebel to come in and be the closer. The new manager comes in. He's not ready to rock that boat yet, right? That's my sense on that. If it continues to be problematic, maybe he'll do it, but he is not in a rush to do it.
Here's the other piece of the puzzle that you need to know, and I don't know, and I don't know that anyone outside the Philly circle knows. Sir Anthony Dominguez has been their best reliever. Last night, Brad Hand, who was used in the same exact role that Girardi used him, last night couldn't get anybody out. He made the game exciting. Phillies had a big lead. Uh-oh, all of a sudden it's a one-run game because Brad Hand struggled. He had been statistically one of their better relievers, didn't get the job done last night, stuck by it. The best reliever they have is Sir Anthony Dominguez, has been since the beginning of the season, continues to be. But Girardi used him very protectively. That they wouldn't push him. I remember the specific game where they wouldn't bring him in because he pitched 2 days over the weekend. They didn't play Monday, and he didn't want to bring him in on a Tuesday because he wasn't, quote-unquote, wasn't available. Well, why wasn't he available? I don't know how they're still treating the fact that he's coming off Tommy John. We're pretty well removed from it, but it seems that they have certain limitations on him. He's the only guy I would turn to other than Knebel, and I don't know that we have the answer exactly where they think Sir Anthony is in his ability to pitch significant numbers of innings, days in a row and the like.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen him go longer, but I understand that. And the hero of the month is a guy who got he got off to a great start, I guess, at home run the first pitch of the year, but had not been playing all that well until recently. Kyle Schwarber, who got his 16th home run of the year yesterday. I think he's second in the league in home runs now, and really looking like a valuable pickup.
Yes, and he's, I told you last week we did this on my night show here on WIP. We came up with a nickname for the Phillies before the season started, the Broad Street Boomsticks, because I thought they had a chance to hit 220 home runs as a team, which would be the all-time Phillies record for a season. Well, I was banking on Schwarber hitting 40. And it wasn't looking like Schwarber was going to be a 40-home-run guy. Now, all of a sudden, he does look like a 40-home-run guy. And guys like Bohm and Stott, who were not hitting home runs, who came up huge the other night with the two home runs late in the game to lift them from the come-behind victory. That's what you have to have if you're going to have a season where you're going to set all-time team home run records. The non-Harper, Schwarber, Castellano guys also have to kick in. And a couple of guys did that in the midst of this 8-game winning streak.
Jody, 10 days ago, I had no idea what we were going to do to get through the summer, both in terms of radio and in terms of what am I going to watch every night? Sports is going to be dead, right? NHL, NBA playoffs are going to be over. Not going to be any football until September. Hey, I am totally back. Rob Thompson is the makes the Mount Rushmore of the greatest managers in the history of baseball. I'm entirely sold, Jody Mack.
All right, let me throw one more number on you from last night's Phillies game that means a lot to me. 37,423.
Yeah, yeah.
That was last night's attendance. It is the third largest attendance for the season, falling only behind the first 2 days, opening day and the day thereafter. They had 40,000 in both of those games against the A's. The Diamondbacks aren't a draw. They're not a very good team. They don't have any recognizable superstars. Why would you get your third largest crowd of the year? How about a 7-game winning streak? That will do it for you. That's the key. The famous line from Field of Dreams, build it, they will come. Here in Philadelphia, it's win and they will come. And I'm perfectly fine with that. Some people get on Philly, oh, they don't come out, they don't support the team. Oh, no, you win, they'll support the hell out of you. But if you don't win, they're not going to show up out of blind loyalty. We have a good discerning fan base in this town that understands what winning and losing is and the way that you play and everything else. So I was actually pretty excited to see that they had the third biggest crowd of the night because, yes, when Philly puts out a winner, Philly will support it to the nines. They did so last night, and I expect an even bigger crowd tonight.
It's going to be a good summer. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Chris in Newark. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Mac to Mac, what a great idea. Fantastic.
Thank you.
So, there's a couple. Yeah, it's been great. It's been fantastic. I love it. Baseball is my heart sport. I want it so bad. But there's a couple things that I needed to see to let me know that this team is different, especially under the new management. And I think they checked off one earlier in the week. After the last game against the Brewers, Joe Giglio came on and said, I didn't expect us to win today, and I would have been fine with it. And I'm going, no. They needed to sweep that game. That way, they don't go into the home game, the home staying three games under, only one game under. Now they're back to 500. Okay, that's one of the boxes. The next box is the upcoming schedule. And, you know, every year we say, okay, after this, the schedule's going to get easy. And what happens every year?
No, are you going down a Florida Marlin road that they're up next and they have been a significant thorn in the side of the Philadelphia Phillies? You are correct about that.
And all, you know, all the other teams are coming up, you know, with the break in the schedule. And you heard a couple of the players say that. Bryce said, we have, you know, the schedule gets easier from here on out. And, you know, they say that every year. What I wanted to say is what he said the other day was, these are all major league teams and we need to step up and beat them because, you know, to be back to 500 now and not to July, I think is huge. It's so much more of a springboard.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to get back to 500 last night and take off from here, that's what I want to see now. If they go back into the doldrums and start, you know, going 500 or sub-500 against these, you know, lesser teams, well, that means we're a lesser team. So, yeah, this is great, but I want to see it over the next week or so.
I hear you. Jody, I do have to break it to the fans, and I don't mean the one to say it, but they probably will not win every game between now and the end of the year. I like to think they will, but maybe not. They have, to his point, not played particularly well against bad teams over the years. Part of that is they haven't been a good team. I mean, they've struggled to be 500. Over the last 3 years, Corey Seidman put this in his story NBC Sports website last night. Over the last 3 years, the Phillies are 18 games above 500 against teams with losing records. That's not very good. The Braves are 35 games above 500 against teams with losing records. You got to beat those teams. They have a history of not doing so.
And one stands out like a sore thumb over all the others, and that's the Miami Marlins, who just so happened to come to town next after we finish up this weekend season against the Diamondbacks. And, oh, by the way, they've only played the Marlins one series so far. That was back in the first month in April, and they went down to Florida and lost 3 out of 4. So, yes, they have to. I don't know if it's a bugaboo. I don't know if it's karma. I don't know what the deal is. Did we ever do anything to the city of Miami? I don't remember. But other than beat the Dolphins a couple of times, they have to be able to beat the Miami Marlins. They've got some good young starting pitching. One guy, Lizardo, is hurt, which I think kind of handicaps them a little bit. But, yeah, you got to win 2 out of 3 this week. I know that he just said, Joe Giglio said, I didn't expect them to win the Milwaukee game. Well, when I was on the air Monday night, I said, just win series. I know they had the winning streak going. It would be great if they win all the games against Milwaukee. Oh, they did. I didn't necessarily. I was with Joe on that one. I didn't know that was going to happen. Just make sure you win every single series. Well, they already got a sweep in Milwaukee. Now they've got the first one here. They only got to get one of the next two to win the series. Again, you are correct when you say if you think that Rob Thompson is going undefeated the rest of the year, let's slow the roll a little bit. Just win series, and sure enough, you'll continue to move up on the Atlantas and the Mets in the division.
Yeah, it seems like the Marlins have been spanking him since the days of Jeff Conine, right? Remember that?
An ex-Marlin who came here and still found a way to beat him. Went back to Florida afterwards and still found a way to help out to beat the Phillies.
Yeah, including when he played for the Phillies. 215-592-9494. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. We do believe we're going to have John Heyman. Oh, I just got a note from him. May or may not happen. One of the insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. We're also going to talk to our pal Anthony Sanfilippo. Let's be honest, Jody. He got his start with us as a producer. He owes everything to us. All success. is doing a great series on the 50 greatest calls in Philly's history, which he's been posting 10 a day, and they're just fantastic. So we're going to go over some of those with him and have a good time. We'll talk some Eagles coming up next. couple really pertinent issues involving the head coach and OTAs, and yeah, we want to take your calls. 215-592-9494. Jody McDonald and Glenn Mack now. It is 94 WIP. Hey, you tired of dealing with your old dress?
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5. With Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.